Over these Easter services, we've been reading our way through the account, Luke's account of the Passion, and we're looking at the last chapter in Luke's Gospel today, Luke chapter 24. And Mike and Chris Dickerson are going to read for us in two voices. So that's page 1061 of the Pew Bibles, 1061. It's a long reading, but it's good.
This is God's word. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them.
In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him.
He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their voices downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?"
"What things?" he asked.
"About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this has happened. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself."
As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost.
He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. "It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?"
They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures.
He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Amen.
Thanks indeed, Chris and Mike. Leaving is something we do regularly throughout our lives. You're leaving, moving on, saying goodbye, leaving an old life for a new one, leaving for a short time, leaving for a long time. And there are different kinds of leavings. Leaving school, leaving for university, leaving for a first job or a new job, leaving to go on holiday, leaving home to get married, leaving this country, leaving life itself. And there are all kinds of leavings in our heads and hearts as well. Leaving childish ways behind, leaving childhood beliefs behind, leaving behind hopes and dreams that were maybe unfounded. And some can also drift away and leave behind the faith of earlier days. For some, this leaving can be a daily, weekly, monthly thing. And we go through cycles of that leaving and returning. For some, it can be a longer drawn out thing. And in our story, the two characters, we have Cleopas and Companion, who that Companion is, we don't know. Cleopas and Companion, who were leaving. They were leaving Jerusalem for Emmaus, 7 miles away. But why? I have to confess, I've never really asked that question before. Why were they leaving? Did they live in Emmaus and were simply going home? When they arrived at the village, they invited Jesus to stay with them as it was early evening. Was it their home, or were they going to stay in an inn? Perhaps they were locals who were part of Jesus' entourage and able to return home at night time. Or if this was an inn they were going to stay in, then where did they live? Would they have been going on further the next day? And why were they leaving Jerusalem? These are some of the things we don't really know. We can speculate at, but we don't really know. All the rest of the disciples, especially the closest of Jesus' disciples, they were staying together in Jerusalem. So had these two lost hope? Had they followed Jesus to Jerusalem, as they said, a prophet powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, but then witnessed the chief priests and rulers hand him over to be sentenced to death and crucified? And they said openly, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Had they lost hope now and were walking away, leaving behind the faith they had in Jesus? Things didn't turn out as they wanted, and so they were leaving. Had they missed the dawn? They hadn't gone to the empty tomb. They hadn't seen the angels. They hadn't met the risen Christ. And at this point, they were kept from recognizing him, we're told. And I wonder if you've been there. Have your hopes and dreams been unfulfilled? Perhaps there's more than a lingering feeling that God didn't keep his part of the bargain. A feeling that God has let you down. It's still dark and you're really not sure if dawn is coming. The emotions of these men, or man and woman, we don't know, were mixed. They had hoped Christ would redeem Israel, but had seen him crucified. And now some women were saying that they had gone to the tomb, found it empty, that they'd seen a vision of angels, and the angels had told them that Jesus was alive. And some of their friends had gone to the tomb and come back and found it empty, and they didn't find Jesus either. So their hopes are shattered, their minds are reeling in confusion, and they're leaving. They're walking away. Have you been there? Maybe that's where you've been recently, or time after time. Maybe you're there today. Broken dreams, shattered hopes, confused, still in the dark and not sure if the dawn is coming. Jesus needed to get these two back to Jerusalem. That's where he had been headed from the very time he was born in Bethlehem. He had been headed for Jerusalem. That's where the prophets spoke about. Jerusalem was where the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter his glory. And so, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He had to get them back to Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't a city. It wasn't anything particular about Jerusalem. It could have been anywhere. Jerusalem is simply just where God chose. Jesus really wanted to get them back to where he would appear to his disciples. He wanted to get them back to where he would send his Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He wanted to get them back to where the worldwide mission of his kingdom would begin. And if you find yourself in that place today where you've been leaving, walking away from God, maybe a bit disappointed or disillusioned, maybe with some broken dreams or shattered hopes, maybe allowing other things to crush the faith within you, well, know this, that Jesus is coming after you as he came after those people going to Emmaus. He met Cleopas and friend where they were on their journey, and he walked along with them. Is that not hopeful? He met them where they were and walked the journey with them. But also know this, that he wants to bring you back. He's not content with your leaving. He doesn't want to leave you in a mess. He is walking. He doesn't want to leave you in a mess. He doesn't want to leave you in a mess. Hadn't thought of that. That was the way. See, sermon preparation on the hoof here. He's walking with you. He wants to bring you back. To bring you back to the place where Christ reappears to you in his resurrection power. To bring you back to the place of recommissioning for witness and service. To bring you back to the place where he pours his Spirit into your heart afresh. Jesus came after them. He met them where they were to bring them back to renewed faith. How did he do this? Well, let me mention four ways. First of all, he opened the scriptures to them so they would have understanding. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And in verse 32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And again, when along with Cleopas and friend, he met the other disciples back in Jerusalem, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. One of the main reasons why we become disappointed or disillusioned or downcast and we is because we let go of the truth. We take our grip off it. We begin to drift on a tide of false beliefs and half-truths and unfounded expectations. We begin to see God in the form that we have cast him ourselves rather than who he really is. We begin to measure Jesus by our standards, and he doesn't match up. You know, if he really loved me, he would do this or not do that, and so on. And so we end up sitting in judgment over God. We in essence become God of our own lives. But we need to get the gospel back into focus, and we do that by searching the scriptures. Not just a cursory reading, but meditating on them, chewing over them, savouring them, allowing God the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to challenge us, to search us, to rebuke us, to encourage us, to re-envision us, to reposition us. God speaks through his word. And when we sit with the scriptures and we pray, as we slowly read and reflect on them, we will be able to say, we're not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. It's dawn of a new day, and we need to get back to the word. And secondly, Jesus revealed himself to them so they would have his living presence. He revealed himself to them so they would have his living presence. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And again, after they arrived back in Jerusalem with the other disciples, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they have to say, folks, I know of no way of conjuring this up, of sort of forcing the conscious presence of the Lord with us. I have no magic switch that you can switch on and suddenly you'll be aware of the presence of the risen Christ. I have no Harry Potter magic wand to do that. God is not a genie in a lamp that we simply polish it and he appears and disappears at our bidding. That ain't the way God works. He is God and we're not. But all I can offer you are his promises. His promises to his people in ancient times in Deuteronomy 4. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And 1 Chronicles 28, if you seek him, he will be found by you. His promises to his poets and prophets. Psalm 34, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And his promises to his disciples and to the church of all ages. In Matthew, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's the dawn of a new day. And Jesus wants you back in Jerusalem. He will not leave you in a mess. Search his word and seek his face, and he has promised to be found by you. It's the dawn of a new day, and we need to seek his presence. Third way that Jesus did this is he gave them a task to do so that they would have divine purpose. And sometimes we find ourselves leaving the Lord or walking away, leaving the center of his will because we've lost that sense of purpose. We've become tired in the slog. We've become weary in the work. We've lost the reason for doing what we have been doing within Christ's church. And let me tell you, this is as real for ministers as it is for anyone. You email after email, meeting after meeting, planning, preparing, organizing, discussing. It can all be too easy to forget what it was God called us into ministry to do, or called into a particular role in the church to do. We need to get back to Jerusalem, back to the beginning, back to hearing the commissioning words of Jesus to his immediate disciples and also to his church. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. There it is. There is our primary task. task. You are witnesses of these things. What things? That Jesus suffered, died, and rose again on the third day. That he calls all people of all nations to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You are witnesses of these things. And maybe Cleopas and friends would go back to Emmaus another time and be witnesses to these things. But for now, they needed to get back to Jerusalem. They needed to hear these words again. They needed to be recommissioned by Jesus again. They needed to receive his divine purpose. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. And whatever role God has placed you in life or in his church, you're there to be his witness. A witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and to invite people to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Through all of the meetings, all of the planning, all of the discussing, all of the preparing, the delivering, the controlling of children, whatever it is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have this divine purpose and this divine dignity that you are Christ's witnesses. You're there to be a witness to Christ in word and in action. And never forget that. It is in knowing Christ and in knowing who we are in him that keeps us going. It's the dawn of a new day. And we need to know our purpose in Jesus. The fourth way Jesus used to bring them back to renewed faith was this, that he poured out his spirit upon them so they would have his loving power. Now, this actually happened on the day of Pentecost, as we know, but the promise was given on this night in Jerusalem. Verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Back in the day, and those of a similar generation to me will remember the comic book The Victor. And in The Victor was a character called Alf Tupper, who was known as the Tough of the Track. And being highly into nutrition and advanced training techniques, Alf always ran better after a feed of fish and chips. Now, the relationship between nutritional input and athletic output is somewhat more finely tuned these days, if I can put it that way. And when Jesus told his followers in John 15 that they were branches in the vine, and to bear good fruit they must remain in the vine, abide in the vine, he was telling them that they would draw all of the life, all of the nutrition, all that they needed to be fruitful believers from him. From him. He is the vine, we are the branches. Any branch that remains in Jesus will bear good fruit that will last. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we're useless. We're unfruitful. We can't do it by ourselves on our own strength. It is only through his life in us and through us that we're able to understand the scriptures, that we're able to be aware of his living presence with us, that we're able to be his witnesses. And that's why Jesus told them to wait, to stay in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Don't go leaving. Don't go off to Emmaus or anywhere else. Stay in the center of God's will. Stay with his people until you're clothed with power from on high, so you will be my witnesses. And again, folks, there's no magic switch here. There's no easy route. We search the scriptures on our own and we search them together. We seek his face on our own and we seek them together. That's why it's imperative over the next while that we come together to pray. We ask, we seek, we knock, he will fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. And not in a one-off way, but in a continual topping up. Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the filling he's talking about here is a daily filling, an ongoing filling, as if we're leaky buckets and we're leaking and we need to be constantly filled up. It means keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on coming to the fountain to drink. Keep on drawing life from the vine who is Christ. It's the dawn of a new day, and we need to be clothed with power from on high. Perhaps you've been wandering away, leaving, heading for your Emmaus. Jesus has come alongside you today and he is saying to you that he wants you back. He wants you back in the center of his will and his purpose. And as we have searched the scriptures and sought his face, so let's grasp afresh what our purpose is and ask for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. As we come to this table, we come to remember that the invitation is his. He invites us to come. He wants us to come who know him and who have committed our lives to him. He wants to renew us and refresh us in faith. And on this Easter Sunday especially, he wants to reinvigorate us, to fill us afresh with his Spirit. He wants to bring us back today. He is risen. And he wants to bring us back today so that we may have understanding, so that we may experience his living presence, so that we may know his purpose, and so that we may have his loving power.